Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters.
Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day.
And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day.
And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruits, and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seeds of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day.
And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day.
And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, of every kind, with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day.
And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good.
Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth."
God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so.
God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that God had done. And God rested on the seventh day from all the work that God had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that God had done in creation.
These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'm going to invite Jenna and Allie to come down closer, if you're willing, to sit near the front. If you can get in front of one of the fans, it's cooler. Because I did put this sermon together with some of the kids in mind. Kids, have you guys seen WALL-E? Cool. Excellent. And Joey, have you seen WALL-E? Yeah, good. All right. So all of you are allowed to listen in as I talk to them. So our scripture today starts out with "in the beginning," right? Which was actually the way we started out Vacation Bible School, right? It's a good way to start a story. We learn about what happened in the beginning before we learn what happens next. And so in the beginning, in the Bible, there was nothing but emptiness with no shape. Chaos and darkness, just kind of a whole lot of nothing going on. And the breath of God was swirling over the blackness of the universe. It's kind of a cool image. And then piece by piece, God creates the world, speaking it into being one part at a time. Now, the beginning of Genesis, the book that we read from, it actually has two separate accounts of creation, two different versions. This first one, it's almost like a hymn or a poem more than a story. If you go on and read the next two chapters in Genesis, there's a different version. Things are created in a little bit of a different order. And God has to actually get God's hands dirty to make stuff instead of just talking about what should happen. Now, if any of you have studied science, you might also have heard about the Big Bang Theory, which is a whole other way of describing what happened in the beginning. All three of these versions, I think, are beautiful. And all three of them have something to teach us. Well, in this one that we read today, this poem about the beginning, we learn that everything that God made was good. We learn that when God created humans, God put them, or us, in charge of taking care of everything else. And we learn that after God made everything, God rested on the seventh day, making it holy. And this helps us remember that we need rest, and so does everything else, right? Taking time to rest can help us remember how good life is, how good the world is. And that way, we do a better job of taking care of everything. But you know what? Sometimes people have read this story, and they've gotten kind of a different message out of it. When they read the part about how God put humans in charge of everything, they have thought that that means that people can do whatever they want with the animals and the trees and with the air and the water. And so sometimes people don't think enough about the consequences of their actions. You guys know what consequences are? Yeah. The things that happen because of something you decide to do or not to do. So, for example, when people decide that they really like hamburgers, and the companies go and cut down rainforests so that there's room for more cows to make enough all-beef patties, they might not realize that millions of rainforest plants and animals and birds will die because they have nowhere to live. And when people decide that they really like driving their cars, and in order to make enough gasoline, the oil companies drill into the ground deep below the water, like in the Gulf of Mexico, they might not realize that if something goes wrong, that oil will end up spreading throughout the ocean, and it will kill even more plants and birds and animals, this time the ones that live in or near the water. And when people decide that every year they need to have the newest toy or the newest phone, and every day they buy takeout food in little disposable containers that just get thrown in the trash when they're done, they might not realize that when the trash is carried away in plastic bags and a garbage truck, it gets dumped in a landfill or a dump, making a big pile of garbage sometimes under a layer of dirt, sometimes not. The problem with that is that the garbage gets packed in there so tightly that no air can get in to help it break down or decompose. So it just stays there as a big pile of garbage for maybe thousands of years. It's kind of scary. And we don't know for sure that it's all going to keep going that way, but these are some of the consequences that might happen because of the choices that people are making today. And in the movie WALL-E, we see where that might lead to in about 800 years. Now, the movie's set 800 years in the future. That's kind of a long time. So in a way, what we're doing now, today, it's kind of like in the beginning for the people in WALL-E's time. So the movie starts out showing us what Earth looks like. Do you remember what Earth looks like in the movie? Can you tell me? That's right. Allie says it has trash and it's all black. There's just piles and piles of trash everywhere. Mountains of garbage and pyramids of junk. The garbage is piled higher than the city skyscrapers. I mean, these are some big piles of trash. Are there any people left on Earth? No. There's just one little robot, and his name is WALL-E. WALL-E stands for Waste Allocation Load Lifter Earth Class. And there's not even any animals except for one. Do you remember what the one animal is? It's a little cockroach that is WALL-E's pet. And for the most part, you can't even see any plants. WALL-E finds one. It's really small, and it's just starting to sprout some leaves. Well, WALL-E's an interesting little robot, right? He lives in this huge truck. It's the one that originally delivered him and probably hundreds of other WALL-E robots, but he seems to be the only one around now. And so instead of all these other robots, the truck is filled with all of WALL-E's treasures, all of the things that he has found while he's been out compacting trash and making neat little piles and blocks and walls of it, all the little treasures that he was fascinated by and couldn't bear to throw away or put in those blocks of compacted trash. Things like a Rubik's Cube, a light bulb, spoons and forks, and a spork, which really confuses him. There's a rubber duck and a bobblehead chihuahua. There's a remote car key and a fire extinguisher. Hundreds of other things that WALL-E has saved and stored. He has a TV and a VCR, too, and his favorite movie is Hello, Dolly. He just loves to watch the people dancing and singing and falling in love. Well, one day, this huge spaceship leaves behind another robot. Pretty different from WALL-E, right? Mm-hmm. WALL-E, what does WALL-E look like? He's square. Yeah, he's kind of yellow in color, and he's kind of beaten up looking. And this new robot, what does she look like? Mm-hmm. White and smooth and polished. She looks brand new, right? Well, WALL-E eventually gets brave enough to say hello and finds out that the robot's name is Eve. And we learn later that Eve stands for Extraterrestrial Vegetation Evaluator. Her job is to find out whether there are any plants on Earth. And when WALL-E shows her the one little green plant that he found, she goes into this automatic mode, right? She grabs the plant from WALL-E, stores it inside her body, and shuts down. And there's just this one little blinking green light to let us know that she's still in there somewhere. Well, WALL-E doesn't know what to do. He tries everything to get her to wake up, right? Because he's kind of fallen in love with her. But in spite of everything he tries, nothing works. Well, eventually the big spaceship that brought Eve in the first place comes back and carries her away. And WALL-E just barely makes it in time to catch a ride on the outside of the ship. He's a robot. He doesn't need any oxygen, so he can ride on the outside. So they ride together on this ship to an even bigger ship called the Axiom. That's where all the people have gone. Turns out that humans don't live on Earth anymore. They're all living in this giant spaceship It's kind of like a cruise ship way out in space. The people float around on hover chairs. Looks like a pretty cushy life. They have all kinds of robots tending their every need, screens everywhere, bright colors, advertisements, entertainment, communication screens. They never have to look at or touch each other. It's kind of amazing how the human race has continued for 700 years in this environment. The people have gotten really fat because they're not getting any exercise. They're just sitting on these chairs all day. They don't eat healthy food anymore. The Axiom is owned and run by a company called By and Large. That's B-U-Y, By and Large. And this company is mainly interested in keeping people happy by selling them stuff, like soft drinks and food and movies and entertainment. So when Wally and Eve arrive at the Axiom, Eve is whisked away so that she can show the plant that she found to the captain of the ship. Wally tries to follow her, but what happens? Do you remember? He kind of gets caught by some of the other robots on the ship, the ones that clean things and fix the other robots. And Wally and Eve end up getting chased all over the ship. Well, meanwhile, when the captain does find out about this plant, he's not quite sure what to do with it. He's lived on the spaceship his whole life, and so have almost all the captains before him. It's 700 years since the Axiom left Earth. They originally planned to be gone for just 5 years, but the Earth couldn't be cleaned up in that amount of time, and so the first captain got orders to just stay out in space forever. Well, the captain finally figures out that the plant Eve has found means that they're supposed to go home to planet Earth. The captain learns all kinds of things about Earth that he didn't know before, about dirt and plants and water and farming. He does get a little confused. He thinks that you can grow pizza plants. But the robot autopilot for the ship doesn't want them to go home. And so the captain has to fight the autopilot robot to make it do the right thing. Well, eventually the captain and Wally and Eve win the day. They get the ship to go back to Earth, where the people are amazed at what they see. There's a lot of trash, yeah. But they also see it as their home. Trash and dirt and green growing plants and all. And Wally and Eve, they get to be together. So the movie ends with hope and love. Now, I have to tell you, you guys might not know this, there are some people today who think that God is not very interested in what happens to the planet or the environment or any of the physical stuff in our world. These people say that God really only cares about people's souls, about their spiritual life. But you know what? God created stuff. I mean, God created all stuff, the whole world. And God said it was all good. So I think God likes the stuff on Earth a lot. Loves it, in fact. And I think God wants us to take care of it. And so I think it's not a bad thing to love your stuff. In fact, the problem might be more that we don't love our stuff enough. Because instead of loving a few things well for a long time, we want to love lots of new stuff every year. And we are running out of room to put the old stuff. Has that ever happened to you? Your toy box, your closet gets kind of full, and your mom says, it's time to clear it out and figure out what you're giving away. Happens to me a lot. My mom doesn't get to see it anymore. But it's a good thing to do, to give those things away that you're not using anymore to people who might need them. But imagine if everybody's toy box and everybody's closet was already full and there wasn't any room to put the stuff you wanted to give away. I think that's what this movie says might happen to the Earth if we're not careful. So do you guys know some ways that we can help take care of the Earth? Any ideas? Recycle things? That's a great suggestion. And that's right, reusing cloth napkins instead of using paper napkins every time. That's right. A few years ago, Pastor Betty and some other people in our church made sure that we have recycling bins here in the church so that all of our paper and glass and aluminum cans and plastic bottles doesn't just end up in those landfills. Another way that we try to take care of the earth here in our church is to use less electricity. A couple years ago, we changed out most of our light bulbs, all of the ones that we could, for the compact fluorescent bulbs because they use way less electricity. Electricity is kind of a complicated thing, but using less means both that we're not drilling as much for coal and oil, and it also means that there's less pollution in the air. So those are both good things. And you know what? The other thing that we did this year is that a few people got together and we planted a garden outside, right here on the church property. And that way we can grow a few vegetables, not very many, but a few things, tomatoes and squash and peas and beans and carrots for people to eat. And that way the food that we eat from here doesn't have to travel all the way across the country. Did you know that on average the food you buy in the grocery store travels 1,500 miles? That's a heck of a long way. All those trucks that the food travels in use a lot of gasoline and they put more pollution in the air. So a vegetable garden's one small way that we can help take better care of the earth too. And you know what? I think there might be some other ways that we could help the earth if we all work together. And so within the next year, I'm going to lead a study called Green Church. It doesn't mean we're going to paint the walls green. It means looking at how we can help keep the earth green and be good to the environment. I hope some of you guys will take part along with your parents, because we don't always know what the consequences of our actions will be. We sure don't want to make the earth end up the way it looks in Wally, huh? So it's important to learn as much as we can, to pray as much as we can, so that God can guide us and show us how to take care of this beautiful world that God made. So the creation will be just as good and beautiful in the end as it was in the beginning. Right? Right. Amen.